Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's BudPod 261.
Is it 261?
Yeah.
Oh my days. Oh yes. 261. 261. Ooh, mixed buns. Mixed buns. You don't a box of all the same bun.
No, that's true. I want a bun that has toasted oats on the top.
I want a bun that's full of Chinese pork.
Oh, that kind of bun, of course.
It can be all kinds. That's why you want to get mixed.
Yeah, and a classic iced bun with a single glistening red cherry
glacé
in the very center.
Jerry. This is a hot take from me. I remember growing up and people would have a cherry and something and go, oh, it's a glacé cherry. Oh, it's like a fake cherry. Well, you want, it's not as good as a proper cherry. And then I had a proper cherry. And I was like, no, you guys are wrong, actually. The fake cherries are amazing.
Sorry,
and
I think
this
you
is
had
a
this...
horrible, fibrous little forest plum. I don't like
I
it at all.
You've had this fucking backwards.
The whole time.
The thing that's basically sweets is bad. And the like you say, the only cherries I've liked have been like... I have this issue with strawberries. People like strawberries. I've so rarely had a good strawberry in my whole life ever.
The strawberry flavor has given strawberry fruit such a leg up that it doesn't deserve.
Yeah, strawberry flavor is like the Terminator compared to the natural fleshy human of an actual strawberry.
Yeah.
It's so much stronger and faster and more dangerous.
On the odd occasion you find a strawberry that's really nice, fine. But even then you got to cover it in meringue and cream and sugar. Sugar? Add sugar. You got to put sugar onto the fruit? I thought the fruit was sugar. But no, you got to put sugar onto the fruit for it to taste like the fruit. No other fruit needs the sugar on top to taste like itself.
That's exactly right. The only time I've had cherries where I thought, now this is the stuff, is you could get these quite dark cherries in little cardboard trays from the supermarket. They were very like in season. They were never year round.
Oh.
I think they were from Spain. But they'd
Spanish
be almost
cherries.
Like almost black, these cherries. They'd be so dark. And those were good. They were a little tart, as the Americans love to say.
Yeah, right.
These berries were a little tart, but they were... They were great, and I love cherry flavor in things, and I love cherry pie.
Yeah, I like cherry flavors. I like the cherry ice cream that they have on the continent. The cherry and what are they called? The amaretto. Yes, amaretto ice cream. I love that.
Yeah.
I would like to give everyone an ice cream of apology for not having a bud pod last week. I found myself in Glasgow with nary a microphone to hand. I was filming The Weakest Link.
That's right. And
then realized too late that there was no way to record the podcast. So that was my bad. Bud apologies to everyone.
Is it... who hosts it now? Is it Ramesh?
Ramesh Ranganathan.
Yes, it is. As part of his, is he still in his phase of being the guy who does everything, do you think? Or is he gradually being replaced by a new guy who does everything?
I think he's still pretty...
It seems like it's still him.
I think he still very much has the crown of guy who does everything. Him, Tom Allen, Catherine Ryan.
Yeah.
They've kind of got these islands sewn up.
It does seem that way. They're just, if you need something presented.
Oh yeah, they'll present something. Oh. They'll present something. You won't be able to avoid it. They'll be presented to you so well and nicely.
Right under your nose.
they're so busy, man. I have so much admiration for those guys. I get tired if I've sent an email. If I've sent an email, I'm like, well, it's treat time.
Right.
And that, and for them, that is the break, is, I guess, send an email. Incredible.
Yeah, and Ramesh has fucking kids and everything. Like, I don't know how he... I don't think he sleeps.
Well, Catherine was a single mom when she moved here. From a foreign land. Extraordinary. Extraordinary tale.
It is mad.
Yeah, how hardworking people can be. It's like it's like when I studied engineering and I learned about Shannon's law in radio science, radio wave science and systems science. And I was like, I still cannot understand this. This has all been understood for me and has been told to me in the easiest possible way.
Yeah.
And I still don't understand this. And I was like, wow, people can be so smart. And when I see those guys, I'm like, wow, comedians can be so hardworking. I think the thing is, if you're a comedian and you're hardworking, you clean up. Because comedians, for the most part, are in comedy because they don't want to work. And that includes me.
Do you think, is there another job which has such a wide range of wants to do work and doesn't want to do work?
Oh, that's really good.
I think rock and roll.
Hospitality.
Oh,
like restaurants. Like waiter in restaurant. Like a waiter in a crappy restaurant who's there because they need a temporary
under
job.
Under duress, basically.
Yeah. They don't care if you live or die. Really nice restaurant
true.
With like a career waiter. Oh my God, you feel like the Prince of Portugal. That's another industry. I'm like, there's such a distance between the lower and upper end of care, giving a shit about this.
Because it's much narrower in, say, being an accountant. Because you still, like, even at the laziest, lowest end, you still have had to become an accountant.
Yeah. And if anything, there's something a little suspicious about an accountant who's really into accounting.
Yeah, who's like, well, I'm just going to do another 4 hours of this. I'm just in a good groove, guys. I'll see you tomorrow morning. I'll probably sleep here. You'd be like, I think he's stealing money. I think that's the only reason he would exactly. want to do this much work unsupervised.
Exactly. Whereas with a really good waiter, no one's going, I think they're nicking silverware. No one. They're just a really good waiter.
Yeah, they're just super into it. But yes, you're right. And it's also funny that in comedy, as as you've just admitted yourself, you can be one of the comedians who doesn't want to do a lot of work and be one of the successful comedians.
That's it.
Yeah.
My career has always been about optimizing the ratio of reward to effort.
Yes.
And I think I've got it down pretty good. I got into comedy to avoid work. So I guess when I see hardworking comedians, I'm like, guys, you know, this is not, you don't have, the whole point is you don't have to do that. But if you are a hardworking comedian, you just clean up.
I think so. There's a limit to it. It depends what base you're working from. In the same way that I remember people who you can put a lot of effort into revising. I could have put a lot of effort into revising for a physics exam at uni, which I didn't do. I'm saying it's something I didn't know about.
Yeah.
But I'd still do badly. Despite that amount of effort, I'd be putting in the effort disproportionately because I wasn't naturally good at it. So I think mostly you're right. I think above a certain level of skill, you're right. We should also say for the listener that you might be able to hear that Phil is talking with a mustache.
I don't know if you can hear this. If you can hear scraping right now, that is the bristle brush of a new mustache.
Yeah. Phil has grown himself a set of mustaches.
Yes. Finally, I've got a pair of mustaches dangling either side of my frelum. What's this called? The bit under the little groove under your nose.
Oh.
Plicum, a plenum, a frelimen.
Plectrum?
I think you wanted to say frenulum, but I think
Philtrum.
That's a gooch. Filtrum. Phil Wang's Filtrum.
Filtrum Wangtrum.
This
you've
is my
grown
first
a tash.
Ever mustache, and it's gone better than I expected. Because it's in previous years, I've attempted a moustache, grown it a bit, and it looks so horrible. It's so upsetting that I just have to get rid of it straight away. But my girlfriend just really wanted me to press on with this one. And
she's team moustache.
Yeah, she is. But I'm going to have to whip it off for a job later this week. So
and the moustache.
Nice. So I've only got a couple more days of this moustache, but it's gone a lot better than expected. What it turns out, I think the secret is completely giving up on the beard, because that is, when I try to do both at once, that's when it looks horrible. Yeah. But if I just focus on the moustache, it actually comes out okay.
Yes, and I think...
Because then it looks intentional if you've shaved off everything else.
And when you don't have to lose it for a job, I would be excited to see, because this is what, like 3 weeks in?
Yeah, thereabouts.
I would be excited to see 5 weeks in, just because that's when, because the way mustaches grow, for any non-mustachioed people listening, obviously the hairs that are right above your lip are trimmed shorter than the hairs right under your nose.
Right, I see.
Not always, but like that, just generally speaking. And they can't be the same length. Because they'd be covering your lip. So there is a kind of optimal stage that I have reached sometimes. Where I've trimmed my mustache in exactly the right way, and I've looked at it and I thought, now that's like a badge. That's like a Lego man's mustache. That's what you want. And there's other times when I can see little gaps or inconsistencies. Mm. And I'm slowly learning my own facial strategy for...
Gosh, it's been all these years and you're still learning. You never stop learning, I guess.
You never stop learning. It's like chess or fucking, I guess. You're just always learning. Always learning and imagining new solutions to problems that are also new. I have some hairs on the corners of my mustache, or like they make my mustache go from a nice chevron fill into a sort of pointy Batman symbol if I'm not careful, and so I have to snipe individual hairs somehow.
Yeah, I had to do that with some hairs that were growing just below the lip line.
Yeah,
stray bastards, as I call them, stray bastards.
I have some stray bastards. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, and you were saying earlier, we were speaking about this before we recorded, that it's incredible how a single hair can ruin the whole thing. A single hair just outside the perimeter of the mustache makes you look disheveled.
Facial hair is like a prison, Phil. One prisoner escapes and it fucks the whole system. Just one.
Yeah.
It's absolutely
right. You lose faith
right.
in the system. But
yeah, that's right.
This has given me newfound faith in my facial hair.
But see, I would have bet on it because you had dense enough stubble. It created a gray. You had a grayer upper lip, stubble style.
Stubble style.
Stubble style. You looked like you had a kind of good gray Barney Rubble, Homer Simpson, Fred Flintstone upper lip stubble where it changes the color of your skin. It doesn't actually, but it gives the optical illusion of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to look a bit like you could strike an old-fashioned match off it.
I've been considering getting my mustache tattooed. You know how some ladies get the eyebrows tattooed?
Oh yeah.
So it just fills in the blanks. Yeah, I might just get my entire upper lip just tattooed black.
Yeah. You could do a magic trick where you shave and it just stays and everyone will be amazed.
Oh.
And gradually you just have a sort of green upper lip.
Oh. Do black tattoos go green?
They can go a bit green. It depends on the age of the tattoo and the sun exposure and the type of ink and other things. But you have to redo it every now and then.
Yeah.
I saw a lady with old tattooed eyebrows and they had blurred a bit.
Oh, yeah. I know the look.
Yeah.
But there's something kind of classic about the look, I think.
I think because so many eyebrows are drawn on anyway...
Mm.
It's sort of always, you'd have to give it a second look to notice or care about it. I'm saying that as a man who is going to notice these things a lot less, because I'm never really sure what to look for. And there's certain types of plastic surgery that my girlfriend has had to point out to me where I've sort of looked at someone on TV and gone, well, I don't know. Some people have faces like that, you know. And it turns out to be surgery, but like, there are people with fucking weird faces out there.
There are.
And yeah. I would rather believe someone than look at someone's weird ass face and say, well, they've been chopped to bits. And it's like, no, they were born like that.
Would you ever get work done, Pierre?
Would maybe another couple of balls added around the back.
The round back of where?
Around the back.
Just the back between the shoulder blades?
Yeah, back balls. Balance myself out, yin and yang.
ballast balls. Is that what a ballast is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Emergency reserve balls. Would I ever get work done? I would worry that I would be opening the door to a sort of avalanche of things. I say that as someone who used to do a lot of drawing and painting. And I know that once you start fiddling with a drawing, you just keep going till you ruin it.
Yeah, it's true.
So you go, I'll just do this. Yeah, that's better. What if I just do... And then before you know it, you look like that weird guy who tried to look like Barbie or whatever it was.
Ooh, you know, what's that?
There's some guy, someone...
Donald Trump. He looks like he's trying to be...
He's silly, man. His hair is weird. There's some guy who was famous for like having... He got so addicted to plastic surgery that he just turned into this like monster, basically.
Just
looks terrible.
Horrible, horrible, horrible. I hate... This is... I can't bear this. This is my mouth sound, is people who've fucked up their bodies like that.
There's a lot of people on the television shows that my girlfriend watches and therefore by extension that I watch. There's a lot of people with bum lips. Big old bum lips.
As in the lips are so big they look like bum cheeks on the side.
They look like side bum cheeks. There's something quite inflated and plastic looking about them. If they are very unlucky, they get a bit of the rubber ring. Like the lip is the same thickness all the way around in a circle, like a Wallace and Gromit. If someone has surgery, and even if it's like not plastic surgery, I'm saying like life-saving surgery or something super necessary, like a removing a benign tumor or a mole, or even if it's good, like it's for a good purpose, I still get like a, oh God, like pain reaction to imagine.
I have the same, yeah. I think I just have like a body horror thing.
But weirdly, I don't get it when it's something to do with organs. Because you kind of don't feel your organs. They're just sort of in there bubbling
like if
away.
An organ is taken out or if surgery's done on an organ.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm glad they got in there and did that for you. That sounds good. The scar, the scar from how they got in.
Yeah, that's a good observation. It is
your flesh.
I guess we're just naturally superficial beings, and that's the thing. Maybe that's the thing our minds can sort of process, is surface level damage.
It's also just where your nerves are, right? Really, like if you sort of go, well, that must have really hurt your arm. I've hurt my arm, whereas I can't honestly say I remember when I hurt my pancreas.
By the way, here's a sort of, I don't know what you would call this, epistemological, philosophical quandary I've always felt. Like, I have this feeling where, like, I find it weird that we don't understand our organs.
Yeah.
Or that we don't even know what organs we have. So, before medicine, before surgery, before we understood what was in the human body, I've always found it strange that an organism cannot know what's in itself. Do you know what I mean? Like, humans don't know what's... I think it's strange that we don't know what's in us. Like, most of us think our heart's in the wrong place. Like, our stomachs is actually much higher than we think it is.
Yeah, I know what
you mean.
Is
there a name for this kind of... for this feeling of...
Biological self-knowledge, self-realization.
Autobio consciousness.
This has got to be a philosophical... because there's all sorts of interesting things about like the change in the perception of humans of themselves when they realize that their thoughts were happening in their brain, not their heart.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
And all our language is still heart focused, as in like heart sick. You broke my heart, etc. If someone breaks your heart, as it were, you don't say, "Wow, my brain," you know.
Although in Malay you say "hati," which I think is actually liver. So all that stuff is connected to the liver instead of the heart.
It's different organs in different cultures, and even in British English, you can. Well, I mean, it's a bit like something someone would say 120 years ago, but you could feel liverish.
Feeling
a bit liverish.
Yeah. It's heart and stomach. You can get butterflies in your stomach. You can, you know, you can feel like a heavy. Is that it? Is that pit in your stomach? Stomach and heart. They're the real feelers of the body. They're the emotional ones.
Yeah. Well, I remember being confused when, I think it's Queen Elizabeth I. She puts on a bit of armor and is going to meet the Spanish Armada at the coast.
Hmm.
And she's supposed to say, "I have the weak and frail body of a woman, but I have the heart and stomach of a man."
Ah, yes. Can you stomach it?
Well, that's it. But as a kid, I remember being like, stomach?
Really? She's a hot dog eating champion.
She just loves eating man food, like chicken wings. Yeah, exactly. I found it very... I didn't understand what they would have understood from the word stomach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Heart I kind of got, but yeah, stomach I thought.
But it's very old, this heart thing. Like the heart symbol is very old and no one knows where it's from. Because it
just
starts
popping up.
Yeah.
It just starts popping up. It is weird though. I don't think I'd get work done. I'm considering waxing my back, Phil.
Oof. 40-year-old virgin style.
Yeah.
There's a lot to take off.
Face down, yeah.
They're going to have to mow you first, I think.
Well, look, I wouldn't say it's Greek back there.
No.
But it's Italian.
It's Italian, yeah, which is, you know, we're at least halfway on to Greek with Italian.
Yeah. And I think my problem with the hair on my back and shoulders is that it doesn't have a natural symmetry.
Right, okay.
It doesn't have a pleasing shaping to it, whereas my chest hair does.
It's right, your back is just sort of a landscape. It's just like a tundra. It's a
procedurally generated map on Age of Empires, just random forests and bushes here and there,
rivers,
creeks, whereas on the front I've got two square hairy tits and a line of hair down my belly. It's like a shape.
Yes, there's a symmetry to it. Yeah,
and it fits with the shape of a torso.
Yeah.
Whereas no one's like, "Ah, the classic back center parting comb, half hair." Like it doesn't. It's nothing.
I have a little tuft of hair. I'm completely hairless except for some very strange places, and I have a little tuft of hair on my tailbone. Is that common?
I've got that. But
your whole back is hairy, isn't it? How do you distinguish?
Not my hole. That's the problem.
No, I'm not talking about your hole, Pierre.
My hole.
That's a whole separate matter.
But not my hole. Like a chimpanzee. That's the one bit.
Just bright and red and puffy and like too shiny, like really shiny.
Really shiny. It's like Rudolph's nose. No. Like I've got a kind of. I know what you mean. I've got that bit there as well, and I had that. I'm yanking on it right now.
Doink, doink, doink.
And then immediately above it is suddenly less hair.
I don't know what...
Almost none above it for me still. And then mid-back.
What do you think the evolutionary purpose for this little tuft of hair on the bit of... I think it's...
We used to have
for us. Yeah, but I think this tuft of hair is for us to be thrown out of bars. When we misbehaved before we invented clothes, the caveman bouncers had to grab onto something to and stay out.
Yeah, and then our cave hat got thrown after us, our club,
a stone hat.
Yeah, our stone hat. That was in that weird period of human history where we had a fully functioning modern economy, bars. Coins, currency, social etiquette, and so on. But still no clothes.
Don't even ask where we kept our money.
Yeah.
Don't ask where we used as wallets.
In the chest hair. sort of the coins would nestle there. Yeah, I'm considering waxing my back because I don't think it's aesthetic.
Oh, by the way, that's reminded me. Did you have this prank as we had this prank as kids, where if your back was facing someone, this was like the boys would do to each other. I had it done to me a couple of times. Someone would get their hand, their four fingers like this, to make a sort of spade, I guess, and they'd run it up your ass crack, and go credit card. Did you ever have that? And you had to do it in a Malaysian accent. Credit card.
And it had to be a Malaysian accent.
Yeah. Did you have that?
Well, imagine if I did. Imagine the coincidence if on the Isle of Man we had a Malaysian accent credit card joke.
Credit card.
What did we have? We had something which I think is a very Northern Ireland or Northern England or I don't know thing, but like no one I've ever met from south of Birmingham has heard of it, which was in the changing rooms, if someone had their bare back, you just try and do as flat a palm slap as possible on their inevitably extremely pale, pasty back.
Yeah.
So you just crack like a big smack and it would leave a perfect red handprint if you did it right.
Man, pranks here in this country are so violent.
As you do it, though, you're supposed to shout Red Hand of Ulster.
Oh, wow. Red Hand of Ulster.
Well, yeah, because the Ulster flag or symbol or whatever has that red hand on it.
Mm. And this would happen outside of Northern Ireland.
Well, it happened on the Isle of Man, but the Isle of Man had a lot of Northern Irish people on it, and it's not that far away. So we might have somehow picked that up from Northern Ireland. It did look great, though, when someone did it right.
Just like, could you make out glowing the fingers?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I know. These were some pale, make out the fingerprints? Pale kids.
Could you figure out who'd done it from the fingerprints?
He signed his work.
It's a calling card.
He's sick. He wants credit.
Yeah. Calling card!
That would be a much more Edwardian. I came and you were out. Calling card. There was a brief phase where some people at my school would do. This is not in the changing room. I think it would have backfired in the changing room. But in the social recreation areas, would find it funny to very suddenly and frantically. The best way I could describe this is to very suddenly and frantically try to climb inside someone else's ass.
Hey, or like pretend you're climbing in there.
Fingers first. What was different about it was it wasn't like some kind of sex crime where they were just trying to finger your bum.
Mm.
There was like an aspect of kind of leaping into someone's ass.
Wait. So this was a prank you'd do to each other?
Well, it's just a thing that like about three or four guys I knew would do to each other to.
But how
suddenly
does it work?
And out of nowhere.
I mean, you can't get very far.
No, well, this is why I think they didn't do it when anyone was nude, because they would have gotten further than they actually wanted to. They would have been like a dog that caught a car.
So how would this prank work? Say the victim-to-be is bent over scribbling something, and the perpetrator would then just like do the diving hands and jump in and poke the diving hands into the ass?
Yeah, or even one-handed, kind of just trying to get as much of your own body in there as possible through like hands.
That's crazy.
And it would just be do that to this person until they flail you away, I suppose.
Man.
Another friend of
childhood
mine.
Childhood was hell.
Oh, it was hell. Another friend of mine, we used to go up to someone when no one was looking and stroke his face very slowly and very softly. And then deny having done that.
Oh.
But then the game became.
Gaslighting.
Yeah, basically gaslighting. But, yeah. But then the game became everyone else had to deny that they thought it was happening, even though sometimes we did see it happening. But it was funnier to say, I don't know why you keep saying he does this to you. He would never stroke your face slowly. Why would he do that?
Then all witnesses would have to play along as if this hadn't happened.
Yes, and it happened organically, which it does when you're a boy and you're 15, is that ways of torturing people, you have a kind of rat's instinct for it, I think.
Rat's instinct?
Yeah.
Right.
You have the same instinct as rats and other vermin. just go, I immediately understand how much funnier it would be to pretend not to have seen this.
Yeah, man, those teenage pranks were horrible. The boys' pranks were horrible. I think
they were mainly like, just imagine if I was suddenly violent.
Yeah.
In a sort of vaguely homoerotic way.
It was always homoerotic. It was always about assholes and dicks and sack taps, and it was always about getting
sack taps were the worst.
Yeah, horrible.
Nipple cripples.
I don't think I got too many nipple cripples. I got a couple of sack taps that were just, you just want to vomit. You just kind of, it's crazy. God. You just want to curl up and vomit.
There was one guy in my year who was like a nipple cripple sniper. He could just tell where they were. It was crazy. It was like,
does he work for the MOD now? He just the terrorists are there.
Yeah, just the right cave in the mountains of Afghanistan every time. Yeah, he's just got that instinct.
The nipple cripple strikes again.
That would be a good origin story for like Jack Reacher.
Mm.
I learned everything I needed to know at my weird school.
Well, speaking of weird schools and nipples, let's listen to some correspondence.
Let's do it.
The weirdest nipples in podcasts, the Podbuds.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ring letters,
emails, phone calls,
talking
your sister,
correspondence.
Would you ever get work done, Phil?
I don't think so. I'm so like, I have a real anxiety about keeping things as they are, and keeping things in their original state. That
like a natural collector.
Exactly. For me, like getting work done on myself would be like taking me out of the box, you know, like you lose all the value.
You wouldn't be in mint condition anymore. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, which is counterintuitive because the whole point of work is to keep you in mint condition, as it were. But I can't do it.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's like, I think it's more of like an anxiety thing. An obsessive compulsive thing of everything needs to be natural as it was.
Well, we've heard from Tom, Phil.
Tom! The bomb. Yeah, the bomb, Tom. Mi hombre.
Tom opens with, "Hi, boys."
Hi, Tom.
I like "Hi, boys."
Hi, boys.
I don't think we've had it before.
It's very Yoo-hoo. Have we never had "Hi, boys" after all these years?
I don't think so.
Wow.
Yeah. Excuse me. He says, "I've never had reason to write into the podcast as I've generally always kept my shit together regarding toilet time. However, after listening to your wonderful pod this morning, I took a lunchtime stroll down the canal. And as soon as I stepped onto the towpath, I saw a canal boat with this name and artwork." So I'm going to show you this on the camera, Phil.
Okay, whoa. Okay, so on the side of a canal boat, the artwork is a caterpillar with its face up and its hand over its eyes as if it's looking for something. It's holding a cooking spatula in its other hand, and the word on the top says Chongololo.
It's a Chongololo.
The Chongololo, the huge African millipede.
Yeah, the big African millipede.
Fabulous. And this is in the UK somewhere, this riverboat?
I presume so, yes. They've gone for a CH. I thought I would always have spelled it with an S, but I've never seen it written down. So maybe it is Chongololo, like that.
Chongololo. And you That's a good name for a riverboat. I like
it's
that.
It's good.
Why has it got a spatula?
Well, Tom says, this is so peculiar, as before listening to Bud Pod that morning, I hadn't heard of a Chongololo.
Whoa, what are the odds?
Yeah, that's how fucked
mad.
Is that?
That's mad.
That's crazy. I would have some quite paranoid thoughts if that happened to me.
That you are in the video game.
I am
that
in the video game.
You are Truman Show.
I was hadn't heard of a Chongololo before Bud Pod this morning, and there I was staring at a boat named after one. It's stuff like this that makes you think we're in a simulation, and I am probably the main character.
Yeah.
I did wonder if the owners were South African, but judging by the burger flipper and the cheery insect's hand, I assume that either way they are keen on a braai.
Mmm.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is, Tom. Anyway, keep on jacking it. It's good for your prostate, Tom.
Yes, so I hear. Thanks, Tom. Yeah, having a little barbecue on a boat must be lovely.
It must be nice.
Yeah.
Pushing and you're not going to burn... Well, I guess you could burn the boat down, but it'll be harder.
Yeah, whenever I see, like, ships on fire in, like, a movie or something, I'm like, come on, guys, the water's right there.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because before pump technology, you just have to think, like, oh, right, if there's a fire, everyone is, at best, got a bucket on a rope, and at worst, they're just like, I've only got my hand, sir. Like, we have to wait till we sink, and then the fire goes out. That's fucked.
Oh, they'd have to get straws out and suck up a bit of water, then turn around and poof, blow it up and suck up a bit more water. And nightmare.
Who's got time for that? Not me.
And they didn't even have bubble tea then, so they didn't even have the thick straws yet. They'd have to use thin straws.
We've heard from James, Katie, and Rosie.
James, wow, a triple. Thruple. We've got a thruple correspondence piece.
Correspondence à toi. How modern. Dear Redacted and TBC.
Ah.
That's
hi.
James says, this is a lot harder after that guy did that mega list. Yes.
The mega list of names. Oh, things to address us by. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of ground covered there. Quite brutal, really. I am in the pub with Rosie Smith, the person who brought you Together We Joy.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah, the April ad. Together
Disgusting.
We Joy. Horrible, horrible, horrible. They should be in prison.
Together We Joy. I saw a really bad one the other day, which was something like Breakfast Future. Like, it's not even trying.
Is that to invest in breakfast? These are breakfast futures.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People are going to keep having breakfast in the future.
I've got a lot of money in breakfast futures right now.
We think breakfast is going to be pretty big next year, actually. She has spotted yet another prime example of utter tat. See attached. Quote. Okay, so I'll have a look at it. It's in the category of tat fill where it's a long bit of driftwood with loads of writing on it.
Yes.
So... here's the format. It's the phrase I believe over and over again, followed by something obviously mad.
Okay. Love it.
So the first line, I believe in blank.
I believe in, well, it's either God or science.
Mm-mm. It's, neither. We're very much in sparkly Hindu brain.
I believe in love.
I believe in pink.
Jesus. I was never going to get that.
No. No.
I believe in pink?
I believe in pink.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I do as well. I think you'd be mad not to.
Yeah. I would seem a lot more mentally unwell if I said that I don't believe in pink.
I've seen it with my own eyes.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I believe in pink. I believe that blank is the best blank burner.
What? Blank burner? Mm. I believe that rudeness is the best bridge burner.
That might actually be good.
That's good advice.
That's good advice. No, we're in very stereotypical women's territory here, remember. This is...
I mean, it's not bra burner, is it?
No.
To feminism.
No, it's not. When I say stereotypical, I mean like the very worst image of what women should be thinking about.
What do Huns like to burn?
Well, they go to a certain type of class to burn it.
Oh, shopping is the best fat burner.
Ah, you're so close. I believe that laughter is the best calorie burner. I believe that laughter is the best calorie burner. I don't think so.
Yeah, not in terms of efficiency. It does burn... Everything burns some calories.
It's probably still interval training.
Yeah, it's a good core exercise, I guess, laughing. if you're a big laugher.
Imagine having a dessert. Your willpower breaks and you have a dessert and you think, oh God, I'm going to have to be in hysterics for hours tomorrow. After that death by chocolate pudding, tomorrow I'm just going to spend all day... Just
a second on the hip. A second on the lips. Forever on the Netflix. Just watching stand-up specials. Just trying to laugh enough to work off the tree.
Greasy on the knuckles. Hours of the chuckles. That's
a horrible phrase. Suggestion of how they eat. Greasy on the knuckles.
Yeah, just tacos oozing.
Just fisting food into their mouths like they've got hooves.
Yeah, all your flesh is wiggling. You better to be giggling. You better get to giggling. What are some other laughter words?
If your seat is buckling, better start chuckling.
Seat is buckling is good.
Mm.
That's good.
Mm.
What else is there? Laughing, chuckling. If food ye are scoffing, you must be laughing. Like one of those mottos that tells you the difference between like an oak and a beech tree or whatever.
If you're getting flobbity, better watch some comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, these are all better.
If you're a little biggle, you need to giggle.
That's good. That's good.
Thank you.
This next I believe sentence is quite horrible. I believe in blank, comma. Blank a lot.
I believe...
I'll say it's a verb. I believe in blanking. Blanking a lot.
I believe in... Kissing a lot.
Oh,
yes!
You got it, baby!
Yes. Yeah, kissing a lot is threatening.
Yeah, it's horrible because the comma and kissing a lot is a bit smaller. So you go, you're reading it and it, you go, oh, I believe in kissing. Kissing a lot.
Oh.
I believe in kissing. Kissing a lot. Okay.
It's like smiling. I like to smile. Aw, smiling a lot. Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine why that's upset me, but it has upset me. Yeah, exactly. I believe in laughing. Laughing a lot. Okay.
Mm-mm. Okay, at what?
It's just a bit too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Something a bit off-putting about it. I believe in being blank when everything seems to be going blank.
Woof, I believe in being in being positive when everything seems to be going downhill.
Basically, I believe in being strong when everything seems to be going wrong.
Oh, okay, okay. Are they rhymes? Are they all rhymes? No.
No, just that one for some reason. Very disconcerting. Yeah. This is the one that is in the email. I believe that happy girls are the prettiest girls.
Awful.
I believe that tomorrow is another day, and I believe in miracles. That's the final sentence.
Oh, and I believe in miracles. I believe that tomorrow is another day. I'm not going to argue with them on that.
Yeah, so far what they've said is pink exists. tomorrow is another day. People look nice when they look happy. Yep, fine.
Laughter burns at least some calories.
Yeah.
Hard to disagree with a lot of those planks.
But they've snuck in an insane medieval belief in the middle there. At the end there, rather. E.g. miracles.
I believe in miracles. Oh, also, I believe in miracles.
Yeah. It's like you've gone into a room and you're going, Sandra, what was it again that you believe, Sandra? Oh, I believe in the color pink. Tomorrow's another day. I like laughing. It's good when people are happy. Yeah, that's what I thought. Great. Thanks, Sandra. Just see you tomorrow. Also, I believe in miracles. So, huh?
Oh, at the end of a really good first date. You've been getting on great, got a lot in common. And just as they're leaving, they turn around and go, oh, by the way, I believe in miracles.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I think miracles can happen. Just go, oh, okay.
That's nice. Literally, I believe that things that confound science can happen.
I believe in, when I say I believe in miracles, and like they like touch your hand across the dinner table as they say this, just to clarify, I believe in the miraculous.
And they just slowly close their eyes.
They close their eyes. And they hold your hand and they say, I believe in things that defy science. And then they suddenly open their eyes. The miraculous.
If you will.
If you will. Yeah. I'm not being metaphorical. And their hand gets really tight. And you just go, ah. Yeah.
Well, here's a miracle, Pierre.
I've been on dates like that.
Here's a miracle. We've done an episode of Bud Pod.
Yeah, that is a miracle. James, Katie, and Rosie sign off by saying, quote, I believe that happy girls are the prettiest girls. Imagine someone saying this selection of phrases to you in a breathless stream of consciousness over a kitchen island at 4 a.m.
I believe the happy girls are the pretty girls.
I believe in pink. I believe in pink. Very good. Well, thank you, James, Katie, and Rosie.
Thank you, guys. A triplet email is so nice to receive.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to get the gang together and workshop an email to us.
Oh, I should say.
As opposed to all these terrifying lone wolves we get sending in their manifestos.
Individual one-person cells.
Yeah.
I should say, guys, thank you very much, and Koji, to all of the podbuds who came to see my Soho Theatre run. Over the last 2 weeks, over Easter, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the Kojis that I got, and I saw some people afterwards, got some photos with some of you guys. It was a very real pleasure. If you've missed my show, if you're based in or near London and you missed the Soho Theatre run, and you'd like to Koji me in person, by which I don't mean wank me off, I mean shouting Koji. I am on at the Bloomsbury Theatre on the 22nd of June. The link is on my website. It's in my bio, blah, blah, blah. But I would love to see you guys on the 22nd of June. And as I said last week, my book is available to pre-order now. So I would love it if you could do those two things for me.
Yes, absolutely. Pierre's got a book out.
Or soon, yes. But now it's time to go to the VIP... what? Miracle store? What? Kitchen Island? What are we talking about here?
The VIP Driftwood shop.
Yes. Of the Patreon. So we'll see you on Friday. Koji, and thank you for listening, guys.
Bye!
Bye!
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.